I'll tell you that walk-in music is synonymous with only one person on WGN Radio. It's legendary now. That means Terry Savage is here, even though it is on a Sunday. Terry, first of all, I'm a fan, so I hope it's okay if I fangirl you just a little bit. And when you talk to John Williams, it's brilliant, the give and take you have back and the information you provide. So if I can do half as well today, but I can't without you, friends, 312-981-7200, that's our phone number. All right, I'm going to begin with the question that everyone's thinking about, I think, even on a Sunday, Terry. Recession, no recession, and if we have a recession, what does that mean?
Well, Steve, it goes both ways. I'm a fan of yours. And when you called and said, let's do this on a Sunday, I said, no, nobody wants to think about money and the economy and the political scene that's leading to economic uncertainty on a Sunday afternoon, even if the weather's icky. Nobody wants to think about it. How did you convince me that people out there want to think about everything from their Social Security to what they should do with their investments to, you know, all their financial planning and the economy? What made you think? All of you, don't change the dial out there, but let's just...
No one's changing the dial. I'm getting...
You want to hear about this.
No, I'm getting text as we speak, you know. The reason is, well, the uncertainty, I don't think, is maybe unprecedented, at least in recent memory. And also, people who listen right now on a Sunday might be working or otherwise busy during the week and don't have an opportunity to talk to Terry Savage or hear Terry Savage on the radio.
All right. Well, let's go back to your original question. It has been a long, long time since the United States last went through a recession, a real recession. Now, everybody probably thinks back to the pandemic, when we literally shut the economy down in February, March, April of 2020. But that was really a very brief, although steep, decline. But if you don't, it only lasted 2 months, and officially a recession is supposed to be two quarters of negative growth, negative GDP. And if you don't count that brief pandemic, it's now been an incredible 16 years since our economy faced a prolonged recession. That's the longest gap in the last 100 years. The previous longest gap between economic declines occurred in the decade of the 1990s. That was a period of 10 years of economic growth brought to an end by the end of the dot-com bubble, mm-hmm, and the September 11th attacks. So when you say the word recession, and by the way, I'll be happy to talk about what's going on in Washington, but I'm just focusing on this from a personal finance point of view. And let me just make this point. It's been 16 years. Think about this. Anybody basically under 40 was just maybe getting out of college or starting a work career. So we have a whole generation of under 40s that don't remember the pain, the uncertainty, the panic in some cases that happens when the economy is in recession, and it's not just your job, but it's your friends' jobs, if your parents, it's your adult kids' jobs. It's a very contagious kind of a thing. We've gone, again, a record 16 years without a real recession. I'm going to talk about what might cause a recession, but the kind of thing I'm talking about is not only the fact that the economy would slow down and jobs would be lost, but I would also point out that this time around, the people most likely to be hit by an economic slowdown and loss of jobs are people who are not expecting it. Not only are they younger people who've never seen what this is like, they still have credit card debt. They're also younger people who think, well, we're the techies, you know? We know everything. They can't get rid of us. Oh, yeah, well, artificial intelligence is coming along, so you're suddenly vulnerable. And also, a huge population that have government jobs. Now, whatever you may think about it, the point is, those people have forever been not vulnerable to a recession. The government doesn't do layoffs, not like what's going on now. So we have a giant population that is suddenly losing jobs unexpectedly, not having thought about it, experienced it, or planned for it. And that has all led to the latest figures on consumer confidence, which were out just a couple days ago. the University of Michigan survey saying consumers are really worried the numbers plunged. So that's the setup you have in which to think, well, what do I do? What does my family do? That's the background for this. Will there be a recession? It looks to me like the odds have gone up. The economy is still strong. Employment is still strong. We're not seeing huge notices of layoffs except aside from the government. But the fact is, all the ingredients are in place, and all the CEOs going on TV talking about their forecast for the year ahead are all going, yeah, but we're worried about the consumers, and the consumers are worried, as we've seen. So the consumer economy is 70% of our economy. To the extent that people go, I mean, leaving aside tariffs and so forth, but assuming that people go, honey, I don't know if we should buy that house even though interest rates are going down, or this might not be a good time to add that bathroom, or I don't know if we're going on vacation. All the airlines have talked about concerns about bookings and so forth. And then you add to that, and I'll finish in a second because you probably have to break for a commercial, but
you're
this
right.
is the big picture. Then you add to that not only tariffs, but the retribution we're going to get from Canada, from Mexico, from Europe, and the dislocations of not only just the auto industry, but everything from the whiskey brewing industry. You heard the premier of Ontario. I didn't know that Minnesota, Michigan, and New York, upstate New York anyway, get a whole bunch of their electricity from Canada, who went back and forth. Well, we're going to have 25% tariffs. Well, we're going to have 100% tariffs. We're just going to turn the switch and you won't get any electricity. That kind of thing roils markets, roils the confidence of the business leaders that make plans to grow and expand and hire people. And that, in a nutshell, is why I'm a little concerned, and I think you should be too, and think about how that will impact you.
So what? How will that impact us? So if you're over the age of whatever, 65 or 70, you have that 401k, maybe you're now living or going to live off that 401k, which is taking a hit, a hard hit, at least for now. What do people do of that age group?
Well, one of the good things about being retired is you don't have to worry about losing your job. I mean,
Okay.
You have to think about it that way. First of all, if you are retired, you should have already rolled over your 401k from your employer to a place like Fidelity or Vanguard. In fact, if you go to terrysavage.com, you can read all the stuff that I'm talking about in my most recent columns, but you can search the columns, and if you put in the column search box, rollover now, it's a blueprint. It's an instruction manual for how to call your old company. You're retired. Why would you do a rollover? Because their investment choices in the 401k plan are designed for younger workers who can take a long-term perspective. Even if you think the stock market's going to tank, and we haven't talked about bear markets yet, but even if you think that, if you're in your 30s, 40s, 50s, you keep putting that, $300 a paycheck in and getting the match, which is 100% return on your money right away, because you have a long time horizon. There's still never been a 20-year period where you lost money in the S&P 500, a diversified portfolio, going back 100 years. But once you're retired, number one, you want to do a rollover because all the funds in your old 401k are pretty aggressive. So once you've done the rollover, you know, gee, we have an amazing amount of money. This has been a huge bull market. We're still only 10% from all-time highs. I mean, the Dow is still over 41,000. In the pandemic, just to give you an idea, it sank below 18,000. So, you know, we've doubled since that moment of fear. It's not that you're a great investor, just the whole stock market took everybody along for a ride. Now you're retired. You're not contributing anymore. It's time to reassess your own risk tolerance. That's another whole subject. So if you want to put a pin in it, let's talk about risk tolerance at some point. Let's talk about bear markets.
All right. We'll talk about bear markets when we come back. And I also want to talk about what you want to talk about. I've got lots of questions here, Terry. People who have called in, people who have texted in, and they all say one thing in common. They love you, even on a Sunday. We'll be right back on WGN. Steve Dale back with you on WGN with Terry Savage here. Terry, I will tell you, I can't even keep up with all the text. One says, Sunday is money day. Another text says, I'm sitting in my car just to hear Terry until she is off. I don't know if they don't have a radio in the house or what. And on it, I love Terry Savage. Terry Savage, I want to hear her every day, all the time. I think you ought to have your own radio station, I think, Terry.
No. You guys are the pros. You do it. I spent the morning riding my horse, so I'm in a great mood to think about the markets.
Well, that's not a bad thing to do. And you are on the radio. I think your name is Neil here. Up. I know you have a question about Social Security. Neil?
It's actually Rick.
Okay.
First of all, I'm the number one fan for Terry. I told her the other day in an email. Anyway, my question to her is, I know she's always advocated for waiting until 70 years old to collect Social Security benefits. I reached full retirement age in about a year. With Captain Chainsaw going through the federal agencies like Sherman went through Georgia, should I still continue to hold on and wait, or should I start collecting now to get whatever I can while it's still available?
You know what, Rick, that is a great question, and I have several people who want to know the same thing. Terry?
Okay. Let's talk about Social Security for a minute, in a big term. And then I'm going to come back and tell you that I'm going to still stick to my original advocacy. Number one, we know in general, I mean, forgetting what's going on in Washington right now, that Social Security has a funding problem. It is not going to run out of money in 10 years, but the trust fund, unless something is done responsibly, big words, by the way, I know that, will not have enough money coming in from the people that are paying in, as this baby boom generation is all retired, to pay out the full benefits. Now, in the early 1980s, they made some revisions, raised the retirement age gradually. You, Rick, and those who are about to retire know that. It was 65. Now it's moving up to 67. And we could solve that problem. And a responsible Congress would have already acted on it. So I've always believed that a responsible Congress will act on it. And the reason that you want to wait till 70 is because every year you wait, assuming nobody does take a chainsaw to the whole program, every year you wait, you get an 8% increase in your base benefit, and that's the base on which future inflation adjustments will be made. Social Security is your only inflation-adjusted pension. If you want to go buy an insurance annuity now and give them $100,000 or $250,000 and say, give me a check a month for life, you're going to get that same check for the rest of your life. And at 3% inflation, the buying power of your check on that annuity will be cut in half. That's the way it works. That's the power of inflation. So your Social Security check, you want to start with the highest base on which inflation adjustments are made. So that's the intellectual justification for if you can afford to and have other savings and don't have to take Social Security, to wait until age 70. Okay, now there's a whole part of the audience going, are you watching what's going on?
Exactly.
I sure am. In fact, 60 Minutes Tonight, I just talked to them, are doing an update on our Social Security horror stories. I hope you heard about the book. You can go to socialsecurityhorrorstories.com, where economist Larry Kotlikoff and I wrote a book, and we're on 60 Minutes a year and a half ago, detailing the clawback program, the $21 billion worth of dumb mistakes Social Security made in calculating benefits, some of which for disability recipients, but a lot of which was for that WEP offset, the public pension offset. They forgot to calculate it, and then they started figuring it out and went back to seniors and said, well, you owe $17,000, $82,000 we saw, going back 10 years, so we'll just stop paying you Social Security for 5 or 6 years till we catch up, and left people living on Social Security with nothing. And that launched the Social Security horror stories that we did on 60 Minutes. And as a result, the acting commissioner at the end of the Biden administration, Martin O'Malley, said, yeah, that's cruel and unusual. What we'll do is only take back 10%. Because it was our mistake, and it just would be very cruel to just stop your benefits. So a lot of people got that 10% reduction going forward. Then at the end of the year, last part of the last administration, Congress voted that WEP was really a stupid thing. And going back to January 2024, we're going to pay you back all that reduction that we withheld from your Social Security benefits, for which you otherwise qualified, but your benefits were reduced if you had a public pension, a teacher, a fireman, or whatever. So right now, hundreds of thousands of people are receiving a sudden check from Social Security because that payback went back to January of 2024. So they calculated it and have started dropping as of a week ago, 10 days ago, money into your account. Some people have gotten $7,000, $8,000, $9,000, $10,000 and should be getting a higher monthly check. And then, in the middle of all that good news, for which Larry and I were literally hugging each other, that we had saved our seniors from the clawbacks and from the reduction in benefits, all of a sudden, there's this guy who is now acting commissioner, because O'Malley left at the end of last year, who said, you know what, we have to do this payback of the WEP because Congress passed that as a law. But this business of reducing it by only 10%, well, that was just a rule that the last commissioner put into place, and we're going to unrule that. And they literally have sent out, and you can go to terrysavage.com. You can read all the details of this. It's the top column, just posted a couple days ago, more Social Security horror stories. They are now, not the people that already made their 10% deal, but any of the clawbacks, and there are billions of them that they have going back years and years, they're going to send you a notice and say, and by the way, we're taking 100%. Of your check again. I mean, this is seniors. So I just talked to the producer of 60 Minutes. There, Anderson Cooper is just going to do a little thing at the end tonight, but they're going to actively work on the sad stories, which I know I'll collect for them, of people who suddenly, you know, they're living on Social Security, and starting in March or April, they won't get a check.
And as you point out in your column, how will people even get a hold of with the employment
reductions? Oh, and that's the other part.
Yeah.
Steve, yeah, they are slashing the employee. I mean, that's Elon. Please keep me from going crazy here.
Well, I will keep you from going crazy because we have to break for news.
But okay, here, good. Good
here
time
is what,
to break.
Here, well, this is what I beg of you because I really want to talk about tariffs. And also, you wanted to talk about the bear market. We haven't had time. Can I have you back for just a couple minutes after the news?
Oh, yeah, sure. Absolutely.
Oh, this is why we love you. Terry Savage. Thank you. We will be back talking about those things, and then we'll be talking about the architecture river rides, and if Terry wants, we could talk about horses, whatever you guys want. We'll be back on WGN. Terry, thank you for hanging in there a little extra time with us. You wanted to mention a bear market, and I have some questions to ask you about tariffs.
Okay.
First, the bear market part.
Okay, I'll be quick. I just, during the break, thought about three points I'd like to make. First of all, we never finally answered that question on Social Security. I think it's unthinkable that they will let Social Security go under. They may make a mess for a while. I would stick with the plan to wait till 70 if you can. Number two, bear markets. People sort of forget how painful they can be. The bear market in February 2020, the pandemic, lasted only 2 months. But the Dow, the S&P 500, actually went down 34%. You remember the financial crisis, 2007, 2009?
Sure.
The S&P was down 56%, and it lasted 17 months from top to bottom. And just another one, 2000, the dot-com bubble burst. The S&P down 49%. It took 31 months from top to bottom. So it is a painful thing if you're retired. And I don't call markets. I don't have a crystal ball. I really don't. But if you're now at the stage where you have to take RMDs, required minimum distributions, or you're just nervous because you need this money to live on, we're only off 10% from the highs. When I say only, if it's a bear market, it's going to be significantly deeper than that. There have been plenty of them that have been double digits, 33% in 87 and 48% 1973. I'm looking at the chart here. So if that means you're going to panic and sell at the bottom, do yourself a favor. You don't have to sell everything. This is not the end of America. But raise some cash inside your IRA. Put some in a money market fund. You don't have to take it out and pay taxes. But give yourself some safety so you can sleep at night and you won't panic if it goes down. That's my bear market comment. Do I know it'll start? Do I know if it started? I have no idea. No crystal ball. But I want to know that you can ride through it without panicking and selling at exactly the wrong time.
As a financial analyst, you talk a lot about, well, historically, but if we are at a place where there is no historical precedent for what's going on. Is that a possibility that we're just going in a new direction, good or maybe bad?
Steve, that's what keeps it interesting. But I've been around the financial markets pretty long time now. And what I remember is that every time it looked like America was, quote, going under, and I just think about the lines at the gas station. America was America. We had oil wells. Why were we lining up at gas stations in the early 80s or when inflation went double digit and the prime rate went to 21% in 1981? Well, I thought that was the end of America. And in 87, the crash. Oh, my goodness, that was the end. And when the dot-com bubble burst, the NASDAQ was like down 80%. That must have been the end of America. We are a strong country. We have great democratic principles. And I have every faith that going forward, we will figure this out. There's going to be a lot of turbulence. That's clear to everybody. That you don't need a crystal ball to see. So when it comes to your money, don't play in traffic. Set some what I call chicken money aside in a money market account. Inside your IRA is fine, or treasury bills. I'll leave it to you with this. If you go to terrysavage.com, you can read all my columns. If you have a question of general interest, you can post it on my Ask Terry blog, and I stay up late answering those questions. But don't give up. I mean, yeah, it's messy now, and it's scary now, I'll admit to that. Prepare yourself, whether it's your jobs or the amount of debt you have if you're a young person and you need to get out of that credit card debt. It's so painful if your hours are cut back, or if you're retired, have some chicken money, money markets, cash, part of your retirement account so you don't panic if things last a little longer than you expect.
Well, with the price of eggs, I'm not sure chicken money will do us any good. Kathy has been waiting for a very long time. Quickly, Kathy, because we're running out of time.
Steve, Dale, we love both of you. This new Steve and Terry show, we want it.
Well, I like the fact that I'm getting top billing anyway, but thank you.
Terry, were you able to check back in with Dr. Bob?
Oh, I did.
Okay, let us know what he said.
I'm not going to let you know yet. I got an email from Dr. Bob this morning with a very interesting announcement about the Kane County Cougars, but I'm not sure that's been made public yet. So I promise that on Lisa's show on Tuesday afternoon and with John Williams on Wednesday, I will give you an update on Dr. Bob's thinking. But he sent me an apologetic letter and said, look what I've been involved in, and I will announce that too.
I know, Dr. Bob. Thank you very much for the call. One more question here, Terry, for you, and that is about tariffs, specifically today, about Guinness beer. Are we going to be paying more for that?
You're going to be paying more for Corona or Modelo. This is, you know what? Nobody's given enough serious thought to the impact of not only the tariffs, but the retaliation. That's why I said stay out of traffic here. It's going to be very confusing, and things are changing every hour. So that impacts jobs, it impacts business decisions, it impacts investment in business as well as the financial markets. This is not the time for amateurs to be trying to make predictions or speculate. You want to speculate, that's fine, as long as you know what you're doing. But if you're talking about your retirement money, younger people, keep doing it. America will survive and prosper. You're older, put some chicken money on the side. You may miss out on some upside profits, but at least you'll sleep well at night, not fearing the downside.
All right. Excellent advice, as always, from the one and only Terry Savage, terrysavage.com. She does tell the savage truth, and what's more, she's done it on a Sunday.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you so much. I just love her, and more importantly, all of you do too.